We're in the middle of Perek Zayin, that there's an idea of rushing into a mitzvah before you start it. Don't delay it. Don't procrastinate. Don't push it off. And the first reason not to push it off is because we learn from the anointment of Shlomo HaMelech that even though David HaMelech already arranged that Shlomo should be the king, right, but they didn't want to delay anointing him because a million things could happen that could prevent it from happening if you delay it. So don't delay. Do it. You do it now, do it now. That was the first source of Zrizus before you start the action. Get started. Okay, the second source. Al-Kein Yiziru Chazal, Ushmartem Es HaMatzos, Mitzvah HaBol Yodcha Al-Tachmitzena. Last week we explained that this example really applies more to something you've started and you shouldn't do in a way that you don't finish it quickly, because l'chora what we're talking about is you're making matzah, and if you delay and you don't finish it quickly, it's going to become chametz. But it's not talking about getting started and doing a mitzvah early. So we explain that perhaps this the inyan of ushmartim es hamatzos includes also the following. Matzah, you want to make matzahs that you can fulfill a mitzvah with them. We're not talking about baking matzah on Pesach. We're talking about preparing for the mitzvah of matzah before Pesach. So if it becomes chametz, no problem. You just don't have the matzahs. So therefore, it also lends itself to this idea, don't procrastinate and let this become chametz, and then, oh, I'll work on the next batch, will be matzah. And then you're pushing off making your matzahs as fast as you can. Not making matzah as fast as you can, it shouldn't become chametz. But getting finished and having matzahs for Pesach. So don't let this batch become chametz, thinking that, so the next batch will be a matzah. Right? And so I won't have the matzahs right now, I'll have them the next batch. Because maybe something will happen, you'll end up not having matzahs for Pesach. Like saying, you know, I won't buy it at my first opportunity, I'll wait and buy it next week. And the next week there's no more matzahs in the stores or whatever, and you're finished. Right? Or you can't get out, or you broke your leg and you can't get to the supermarket, or there's a storm and whatever, and you can't get matzahs. It's the same thing over here. Don't rely on the next batch, because maybe something will happen and you won't be able to get to that next batch. So that also is a source. It's more of a source to when you're baking matzah on Pesach, do it quickly, otherwise it's going to become chametz. But it also applies to baking matzahs before Pesach, so you'll have matzahs for Pesach. I think that's how you have to understand it. Then, second thing, another source. The Amru, La'olam yakdim adam l'dvar mitzvah, shelathi shegdima b'chira l'tzeira. Okay, the Gemara says like this. The two daughters of Lot, even though what they did is skipped in school, so the children that are here will try to say it not as graphically as it was. In any case, the daughters of Lot, you are familiar with the story, okay? Intended to do a mitzvah. They thought that there was nobody else around in the world. The world was destroyed, just like by the Mabul, and they were the only ones left. Or, somebody asked me, I mean, they really thought Avraham Avinu, everybody else was destroyed except them. Right? But I think perhaps what they thought was that from Sodom, everybody was destroyed, they were left, and they weren't going to be able to have connection to any human beings again. They were isolated from the rest of the world. So at least they wanted to keep up their family. It's not that they felt that the whole world was destroyed, they wanted to populate the world. So they had no other choice but to have children from the father. So they got them drunk, and it says that and they didn't do this as an aveira. They did it mamash l'shem mitzvah, an aveira l'shmo. So they're not held guilty for what they did, right? Adarabah, they considered a schus. It was considered a very positive thing in the end, because they really meant it l'shem shemayim, and they really thought that they had no other choice. It says that since, therefore, the older one, by one night, was went to this mitzvah before her sister. The younger one waited till the next night to do the same thing. The older one initiated it, right? So because of that, the descendants of the older one reach gedula before the descendants of the younger one. So you see that if you do a mitzvah earlier, there's a mile in it. So we learn from here also, don't procrastinate, don't push off a mitzvah. If you can do it now, do it now. Next source, v'amru zrizim makdim l'mitzvahs. We learn from Avraham Avinu that he got up early in the morning to go to the Akedah. Could have slept late, could have delayed it, but he didn't. Mikan shez rizim makdim l'mitzvahs. That you go to a mitzvah as fast as you can. Don't delay it, right? Do it as the earliest you can. V'chein amru, and another source, la'olam yorutz adam l'dvar mitzvah afilu b'shabbos. You're allowed to run, therefore, to do a mitzvah. You're allowed to run to shul, not run away from shul, but you're allowed to run to shul. Even on Shabbos, even though running on Shabbos is not okay, but you're allowed to run on Shabbos for a mitzvah. Because it's a mitzvah to get there earlier. So if you run, you'll get there earlier. Those are all the sources. Now, one more last thing. The Medrash Amru, and then to sum it all up, the Medrash says, Hu yinahagenu almus bizrizus ki ilein ulemsa kimada at omer besoch alamos tofafos. It says, Hu yinahagenu almus. Almos can mean almoves, right, but to do with death. Something that is almovis, beyond death, but it also has to do with alamos, means a youngster, like a youngster. The Rabbanu Shalom will lead us if we act like youngsters with zrizus and run to do things, right? Not like an old person that schleps along and delays. Ki azrizus he midas shleimus gedola. Because doing something quickly is a tremendous act of perfection. When you schlep it out, you schlep in and procrastinate doing it, that's not shlemus. Shlemus is doing it, do it, you have to do it already. And in this world it's very hard to really do things bizrisis because we're in a world where there's inertia. And there's, and gravity, and things slow you down. But in the next world, there's nothing to slow you down, right? If there's no gravity, a small amount of energy can send something going without any thing to hold it back, right? Any what?
Impediment.
Okay, right. Anything, nothing holding it back. So in the Olam HaEmes, if you put in Zrizus here, there you'll have it with its full glory. That in this world, in the time when you're supposed to be doing mitzvahs, you get the reward for it later, right, in a way that what you did here will translate into a tremendous amount more than what it was over here. Okay. So, please bother me. Why do you need all these sources? I mean, they're just telling the same thing, or each one reveals a little bit different. So I was thinking, each one tells you something else. The first one from Shlomo HaMelech, that if they didn't anoint Shlomo fast, things could crop up that would prevent him ever being anointed. So from there we learn that don't procrastinate, because if you do, the thing could be pushed off or negated. Okay, that's the first thing. What?
It's in today's Chok Yisrael.
That? The Chok Yisrael?
Yeah,
and today's Chok Yisrael? Oh, I hear. Okay. Okay, now, the next source is matzah. Right? That, the first one was, it wasn't going to be pushed off completely, just the opposite. By Shlomo, it wasn't possible that Shlomo should never be king, because God promised he'd be king. So it was a nevuah. So to mevatel it completely was impossible. But it just would be delayed. So we learn that if you don't do something quickly, it may end up being delayed, right? Indefinitely, maybe. The case of matzah, we learn just more than that. Not only may it be delayed, you may never have any matzah. If you don't get started with this matzah now, right, nobody guarantees you'll have matzah. There's no guarantees. There was a guarantee that Shlomo will be king, but there's no guarantees you'll have matzah. So not only may you delay the thing, but you may, but mivatla completely. That's the second source. Then the what's it called? Then the next source is the yakdim adam l'dvar mitzvah. Okay, that not only if you do it earlier. It's not just that if you don't do it, you may, what's it called, it may be delayed and you'll have problems or whatever. But if you do it earlier, there's a mile in doing it earlier. Right? The older one, it's the younger one also did it. But the fact that the older one did it earlier left a mile for the future. It's not only that if you don't do it quickly, bad things could happen. But if you do do it quickly, it makes the maisa better maisa. Right, and therefore it has more repercussions, good repercussions. Then we have the zrizim makdim le mitzvahs, that it makes a difference to the person. Till now we said if you do a mitzvah faster, earlier, the mitzvah is a better mitzvah. Zrizim makdim le mitzvahs means not only is the mitzvah a better mitzvah, you're a better person. You're a zaris. It makes a difference in you. Now it doesn't only do make a difference in how the mitzvah comes out. It makes a difference in the person who's doing the mitzvah too. That's called zrizim makdim l'mitzvahs. And therefore, since the zrizis itself in the person is a maila, you're allowed to run on Shabbos. Because the running itself is a mitzvah. It's not just the result of it will be a mitzvah. But the actual running, it's what you're doing, makes a difference. So therefore you're allowed to run on Shabbos. So we have basically four or five levels. The first one is that if you don't do something bezrizis, you may delay it in a way that's not good. Secondly, you may totally be mevatelet. Thirdly, it's not just that there's bad consequences if you don't do it quickly, but the mitzvah is a better mitzvah if you do it quickly. Not only is the mitzvah a better mitzvah, you're a better person. And then the actions you do in what's it called, in doing this mitzvah quickly, become themselves mitzvahs. So the running is okay on Shabbos, because the running itself becomes a mitzvah. It's not just something that will lead to a mitzvah. The running itself is part of the mitzvah. You're a different person. So when you run, it makes you a better person. It's something that's a mile in you, so you can do it on Shabbos. So those are the four or five milas that each source teaches us. That's in doing mitzvahs, not delaying them. Now there's a second idea. Ach asrizus acharas balas hamaisahu. Then there's a second kind of asrizus. Okay, now you got to do the action, do it. Now finish it. Don't delay finishing it. Now that doesn't mean that you should do it so quickly that you do it in a botched up, messy way. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about doing it properly, but don't delay finishing it. Don't delay starting it, don't delay finishing it. Delay doesn't mean that you have to do it so fast that you won't do it with kavana and won't do it with the dikduk and make sure that you don't botch it up or whatever. But it means as fast as is necessary or as slow as is necessary to do it properly, do it at that speed. Don't delay it unnecessarily. Don't do it slower than is necessary. Shekivin she'ochas b'mitzvah, yemar lahashlim osa. Once you started a mitzvah, finish it. As quickly as you can, with the conditions we mentioned. V'lo l'hokam elav k'misha mis'av lahashlim mi'ol v'mosu. However, that's not to mean that you should do it quickly and get rid of it. That's also not proper. Right? I want to get finished with this mitzvah as fast as possible. I got to dab mincha. Do it in, you know, record time, 3-4 seconds or whatever, right? And some people, I'm a mamash, not here really, but other places, I daven, sometimes in Yerushalayim or whatever, and the speed that people say Shemona Esrei, I haven't finished the first three brachas, and it's not Elul, it's like, you know, I'm also in a rush. And they're finished. It's like, the three steps is, doesn't look like Shemona Esrei, it looks like a cha-cha. You know, three steps back, three steps thing, it was a... It has mamish doesn't look like davening b'chlal, so that's not what we're talking about. That's where, like, you know, let's get finished with this already because I got other things to do. So let's get this mitzvah over with. That's not zrisus. That is insulting the mitzvah. We're talking about doing it in a way that you savor the mitzvah, you do it properly, but you don't delay it unnecessarily. Right? So one thing to do it quickly is it may appear like you want to get rid of it. That's for sure not what we're talking about, he says. Ela miyiraso pen lo yiska ligmarosa. But you want to do it quickly in order that you should finish it. Because finishing a mitzvah is a very important thing. A person who starts a mitzvah and doesn't finish it ends up burying his wife and children. Now, why the wife and children end up suffering because of that, right? It doesn't mean that because a guy didn't finish a mitzvah, his wife and children suffer. That would be grossly unfair. And also, what happens to a wife or children that don't finish a mitzvah? Who suffers? Doesn't say the husband suffers there. What does it mean? It means the following. Sometimes a person has a wife or children that deserve punishment. They deserve to die. But this guy doesn't deserve to have that sorrow. So his merit saves his wife and children. But a person who has this pagam, that he started a mitzvah and didn't finish it, then his schus can't protect his wife and children. And if they have another reason to, on their own, to die, this pagam that he has will serve as a reason to prevent his merit from saving them. That he deserves to suffer because he, now that's a connection. When a person does a mitzvah, the mitzvah becomes an extension to him. If he finishes it, so he finishes that extension, it's a total extension. If he doesn't finish the mitzvah, he leaves it hanging, so then basically, and he's created an extension, but the extension basically died. Right? He let it die. So, therefore, midah keneged midah, the other extensions of him, his children, his wife, are extensions of him, are also going to affect them in that way. So it's not going to kill him. But if they have reason to die, his not finishing the mitzvah is going to affect his ability that he shouldn't suffer, maybe would save them. Now he deserves it because he let extensions of himself die, so other extensions of himself can also die. And I think is a possible explanation. And therefore Chazal say, the Amru ein ha-mitzvah nikres el ha-shem gomra. The mitzvah is called on the name of the person who finishes it. Because finishing a mitzvah is shlemus. It's seeing the whole thing. Now, we always explain that this is the idea of a siyum. Because on the one hand, it seems over here like finishing is a very important thing. Don't leave something in the middle, finish it. And therefore, do it as quickly as you can, so you're guaranteed you're going to finish. Because if you delay and procrastinate doing it, you may never finish it. Okay? So, till now we think that what the Silas Sharm is talking about is the mila of finishing something. But that is very, very questionable, whether there is such a thing to finish something. When it comes to Torah and mitzvahs, the main thing is not finishing. Lo alecha hamalacha ligmar. You don't have to finish anything in Torah. You just have to put in the effort. You have to do, not necessarily accomplish. Right? Ton, not uftan. Okay? Doing, not necessarily accomplishing. So, how does that fit in with this? That's such an Indian to finish. Here it says, don't have to finish anything. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim says that what we say at a siyum represents this and seems to totally negate the whole simcha of a siyum. Like it puts damper on the whole siyum, right? It pours cold water. What do they say? Pours cold water on the whole siyum, right? What do we say by a siyum? Onu ameilim ve'em ameilim. We work and they work. The people, we said, we thank the Rabban Shem for giving our portion amongst people who learn Torah and not people who waste their time. Right? Yoshvei Kronos, people who sit on the corners and play backgammon or what's that, idle away their day. Sha'anu mashkim v'hei mashkim. We get up and they get up. Anu mashkim l'divrei Torah, hei mashkim l'divarim b'teilu. We get up for Torah, they get up for things that aren't important. Anu amelim v'hei amelim. Anu amelim makablim shchar, We work and they work. We work and get rewarded. They work and they don't get rewarded. Chavetz Chaim says, who works and doesn't get rewarded? Nobody works in this world for nothing. Either you get satisfaction, you get paid, you get something. Nobody works for nothing. So what he should have said is, we work and we get eternal spiritual reward, and they work and they get, what's it called, temporal material reward. That would be true. But they work and don't get rewarded is not true. Says the Chafetz Chaim, no, it is true. You have to understand what the meaning is. The meaning is the following. In the physical world, if you give, let's say, a carpenter lumber, and you tell him, I want you to make me a table. Come back in a month, and the lumber is just sitting there. And the carpenter gives you a bill for $500, and you ask him, what's the bill for? Where's my table? He says, well, I didn't get around to the table yet, but I put a lot of work into your wood. Right? To get to know the wood good so I could really, you know, work with it. I carried it up 10 flights of stairs every day and down a few times, right? So I really got a bond with your wood, so when I make the table, it'll really be with tremendous care. And then to get practice, I practice knocking nails into your wood to see how they go, right? Which nails are the best, and I, what's it called, extracted them, filled up the holes, so they look perfect. I did this for a month, and I'd like $500 for it. You wouldn't pay it. Why not? You work with your wood. You don't pay for work. You pay for results. If he'll make you a table, you'll pay him according to the work he put in. But if he never finishes anything, you're not going to pay him. You don't get paid for work. You get paid for results. In Torah, it's not like that. In Torah, you get rewarded for the effort, even if there's no results. Even if you never understand, you come to this year, you don't understand a word that's going on. But you fight to keep your eyes open for 45 minutes, you'll get rewarded for 45 minutes of Torah learning. And you'll have that in the future too. In the Olam Haba, you'll have 45 minutes of learning Torah. So, Lemaisa, in Torah world, we work and get paid. They work and don't get paid for the work, they get paid for the results. So if that's the case, then what are we celebrating in Siyum? Right? You don't have to finish anything. Just put in the effort. So what are we celebrating finishing? So I always like to say that the celebration is not for finishing, because that would be absurd too. You learn, you know, a Gemara for years. Every day you learn a few hours. The last day you learn one line, and you make a big party for one line. How about the rest of the thing? Have you learned so many other lines? Why is that one line? So explain that siyum can also mean to clarify, to identify. And the siyum is not celebrating finishing. But the idea is that when you see a finished product, you understand it a lot more than when you see it in, what's it called, in fragments. The example I always like to give, if you have a 500-piece, one of these jigsaw puzzles, big jigsaw puzzles, so you basically know what the picture is supposed to be because it comes in a box with the picture on the cover. What happens if you go to a yard sale? They happen to lose the box, but they have all the pieces. So you have 500 pieces, you have no idea what this picture is supposed to be. So as you put pieces together, you really can't appreciate each piece as what it really is until it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, when you put the last piece in, then you can appreciate every piece in light of the whole. Same thing, imagine if you would have never learned Sefer Bereishis. Never. You don't even know what the stories are. Right? You're a green Baal Tshuva who came somewhere from who knows where, from China. Never heard Bible stories. Never heard about the Tanakh. Nothing. So you start learning. And wow, God created the world. One day. How many more days are yet to come? Right? So you really can't appreciate the days until you come to the end of Bereishis, of the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. And now you have 6 days, or 7 days of Shabbos. Now the days make more sense. But you still don't know what's coming. What about people? Who are these people? Then you learn about Adam and Chav and Cain and Hevel. And you know when you can really appreciate every bit of information in Sefer Bereishis when you finish the whole Sefer. Now everything fits into a bigger picture. And every part of the picture makes more sense in light of the whole. But when it was a fragment, it really didn't make that much sense. It didn't make as much sense as it does when you see the whole story and then you see how every part fits into the story. Same thing goes with a Gemara. If you don't really know the whole Masechta, you don't really understand every little part because this part really has connection to something that's at the end or whatever, and when you see the whole picture, then every little piece fits in. So you're not celebrating finishing. but you're celebrating seeing a whole unit. That's the thing. Right? Seeing a whole unit is important. And that makes sense, what he brings down over here, that a mitzvah is called on the name of the person who finishes it. So you normally think that a person doesn't finish a mitzvah, so he is derelict, and he's punished, that the mitzvah is not called on his name, he doesn't get rewarded for the mitzvah. But the place we learn it from doesn't make sense. The place we learn it from is Moshe Rabbeinu, when everybody else was opting for the other mitzvah they had of getting gold and silver, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who busied himself in the second mitzvah that they had to get the bones of Yosef. Moshe went to get the bones of Yosef, everybody else went to get gold and silver. So Moshe got the bones of Yosef, and he didn't give them over to somebody else to take care of. He supervised taking care of those bones for 40 years in the desert. Imo b'mechitzasa. He took them, he supervised them for 40 years. He would have loved to finish the mitzvah and bury Yosef in Shechem. There was one big problem. He died. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wouldn't let him go into Eretz Yisrael. It was not really his fault that he couldn't bury Yosef in Shechem. He happened to die before. So Bnei Yisrael took the mitzvah and they buried Yosef in Shechem, and the Torah gives them the credit. Yosef asher helu Bnei Yisrael mimitzrayim. As if they took it out of Mitzrayim. They get the credit. So that's not fair. It's not over here where Moshe didn't want to finish it. He was derelict. He gets punished because he didn't finish it. He would have loved it. He's an honest. So why is it fair over here that it's not called in his name? So first of all, it doesn't mean he didn't get the reward. It doesn't say he doesn't get the reward. Somebody else gets the reward. Avadi, he got the reward. He got the reward for every part he did. Because again, you don't have to finish. You put in the effort, he got the reward. To be called on your name is a different thing. That the mitzvah should bond with you, and you, the mitzvah is called on your name, has nothing to do with the reward. That has to do with a different thing. Right, certain things are called on the name of the person who does it because they bond with it. The Aaron was called on the name of Bezalel because he bonded with that mitzvah. So there are mitzvahs. The whole Torah is called on the name of Moshe Rabbeinu because he bonded with that Torah. You can't bond with a mitzvah unless you see the total thing, because if you only see a fragment, you really can't relate to it 100%, even Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu only saw the mitzvah up to a point. He didn't see it beyond that point, so he couldn't bond with it. Bnei Yisrael saw it beyond that point, and they saw everything that came before. So they saw the whole mitzvah, they could bond with it, even though they didn't do the whole mitzvah. They only did the last part. But they did the last part, they could look back and see the part that was done too, plus the part they did, they could see the whole picture, they could bond with it. So it has nothing to do with getting rewarded. It has to do with being able to have a bond with the thing you do. You have to see the whole thing. Not you have to finish it. That's only incidental. The main thing is you see the whole picture. And that's what he says. That's the shleimus. It's not that finishing a mitzvah is a value to itself, but it brings perfection to the mitzvah because now you see the whole thing. Even though you get rewarded for just the toil in it, but you don't see the whole thing, you can't really bond with that mitzvah. So it's more not of reward or punishment, it's more of how perfect this mitzvah is. If you see the whole thing, then you can see the perfection of it. And if you don't see the whole thing, you don't. You see less than perfection. You see a fragment.
So what does it say? I've called Halecha Lechasim. We often say that everything goes in the end. It's not why the Rav's explaining it. It's
no, because that's the same thing. Hakol Holechacher Hagmar. Yeah, everything goes because everything goes on the finishing means until you finish it, you really can't relate to the thing completely properly. So everything really depends on finishing it and seeing the whole picture, but not because finishing is the mila. It's because when you finish something and you see the whole unit, then you can really, what's it called, relate to it properly, and you really can deal with it properly, and you can bond with it properly, and all these other benefits. But it's not that there's some mila finishing. The mila is you get to see the whole picture. That's the idea.
There's a much simpler answer. It means that just means that you don't have the ikkar responsibility you have is not to finish; it's just to do the work. However, if doing the work translates into finishing, that's part of what you're doing. And if you don't finish, so then it's being felt in the omel that you're doing. So there is an inyan of finishing, not because that's the ikkar responsibility, because that's part of working.
In other words, you're not here a little bit, that you're not, what's it called, you're not putter from putting in the effort until you finish.
Right.
So if you're derably upset, that would only apply if you had to do it and you decided not to. Then you were lazy, you were derelict. But in Moshe Rabbeinu's case, that wasn't the case. He died. He couldn't be expected to finish. So then what was wrong with him not finishing? It doesn't explain Moshe Rabbeinu.
He just didn't get the milah finishing.
I'm saying, but what was the milah? Lo alecha malacha. They're only a milah, according to you, if that means part of the work. But here he wasn't fine. Part of the work because he died.
Fine, but that's a separate opinion. The Pashtun idea of finishing, though, when a person is supposed to try to finish something, but because
right, because that's part of the working. But by Moshe, it wasn't part of the working. He died.
Right, so that the Rav
answer. No, but I'm saying that. So you have to say some different thing because the Gemara learns this idea in a mitzvah nikra el shem gomra as in the chora intrinsic thing, but it can't be because lo alecha malacha ligmar.
The Rav has to steal from three other places. Before explaining that,
right, I'm saying, but it doesn't answer this thing, right?
Okay,
but that's okay.
Like a separate thing.
Okay. We will continue next week.